Welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm Third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
Well, welcome back. If you were where I was on the last podcast, as we talked about the grief of losing a child and the hope that three parents and one sister found as death came way too fast. Death came knocking on the door much faster than any of us hoped that it would. These two mommies and this daddy and this sister shared how they found hope and how they were able to lean in to the soft side of Jesus, to lean in to the hurt side of Jesus, if you will, the side of Jesus that received the spear in his side and has remained hurt and soft for people that are hurting and needing a soft, caring Jesus in the process. I hope you're with us in that podcast, but today we want to follow up, and certainly we need to. We didn't want to leave you out on a cliff, but just in a personal sense from our little family that's received so much hurt and brokenness over the years in so many different ways. But when my daughter's stepson died 2 years ago, the pastor did something really special at the funeral. After the family got up and left, he had everyone who was left in the church take their phones out and pick several dates in the distant future to reach out to the family to check on them or to talk about this dear young man named McKay. He didn't want the family's grief to be forgotten or McKay to be forgotten because outsiders move on much faster than the family does. I know in our little family cemetery, there's a beautiful little maple tree that we planted in McKay's honor because we always want to remember McKay around here. And so Beth Ann, yeah, in a personal sense, after losing not one but two of your brothers in a short 14-month span, what was something that helped your family, or what was something that you would wish people would have done that maybe was missing?
I mean, our family received just an outpouring. Melissa, you mentioned in the last podcast just the community that came around you, and I just am still blown away by what we received. And so, you know, there's some immediate practical needs that I can think of that just served us so well. I mean, things that you maybe wouldn't even think about, like people who brought us toilet paper and Kleenexes and paper towels and paper plates, because you don't have a lot of energy when these things happen, right? Like there's this kind of super, you know, power that I think God gives you of adrenaline when you're needing to make hard decisions and funeral plans. And as the dust settles, I just remember just for all of my parents, for myself, just this social and physical and emotional and mental just drain on your energy. And so when people provided really practical things that made life just a little bit easier, man, it served us so well. And so, you know, initially we had casseroles coming out our ears being from the South. And so that was great. But then people were great to say, hey, we know the months ahead are going to be hard and there's going to be nights where you don't feel like cooking or you don't have the energy. So here's gift cards to go out to eat. Such practical things. People came and mowed our lawn for months, you know, and they just did that. And I appreciated that because, you know, a lot of people say, hey, let me know if you need anything. But everybody who's been asked that knows you don't ever really tell people what you need. And so I remember just people showing up to say, oh, wow, is that Jerry in the backyard mowing the lawn again? Yeah, it is. And wow, oh my goodness, there are still cards coming in the mail and, you know, so many things of just people meeting practical needs. One of the best things that a family did for us is after Nathan had passed away, they said, hey, you need to take some time off as a family. And so they gave us their little vacation home in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and just said, it's yours for the month. And so just providing even a place that's not your home where you feel like you need to do chores and, you know, all the things, like, it just gave us space to be, to rest, and to connect as a family. And so that was a unique way where people really just ministered to us. And just one more that I'll mention is, you know, those are some immediate needs, but then there's still the future needs that you have. And so kind of similar to what was done for McKay, I have some friends that they're just aware of special dates or dates that hold significance. And so specifically in the summer, my camp team, on the anniversary of Nathan's passing, they plan a little get together and there's snacks. And then there's just space where they say, tell us stories about your brother. Let's look at pictures, and we throw it up on the TV, and I go through, hey, tell us about Seth. Or on their birthdays, I have friends like, hey, we're having dessert tonight for Seth's birthday. Whatever it is, just they remember those future things. And just is such a comfort to know, you know what? Our pain is not forgotten. So I could go on, but those are just a few things that really ministered to us.
And so Emily Sizelove, in case someone wasn't here for the last podcast, you and your fantastic husband, Jake, helped direct K-Country, where a whole bunch of darling younger kids come in the summertime, and they find such happiness and such joy there with you and Jake. And so we heard about your six-week-old son, Beau, passing much sooner than you and Jake expected. But a similar question to you, as we asked Beth Ann a second ago, what was it and what is it about the folks that were close to you that helped bring you life and bring you hope and bring you peace when you were crying so hard you couldn't see the light of day?
Such a good question. And I mean, Beth Ann, as you were talking, I was like, yep, that happened. And I really think we just really got to experience God's provision and care for us through his people. That, I mean, I could like literally feel people's prayers sometimes. I just like a covering of like peace and an ability to like carry on. I really think because of people's prayers and just people caring for us, whether it's toilet paper or diapers for Leah, who was 2 at the time. Yeah. So like I echo everything that she said. I think one of our greatest fears as parents that lose a child is just the fear of them being forgotten one day, or like I'm the only one that's going to remember them or grieve them. So just when I would have friends text me or call me randomly, like, hey, I was thinking about Beau today and just wanted you to know, or hey, I got to share Beau's story with a coworker today. His life is still impacting other people. So just not having the fear of like, hey, if I'm thinking about Nathan or if I'm thinking about Seth, I'm just going to text Beth Ann about it and let her know. I think just for us as grieving parents, knowing that other people still remember our kids, and we want to talk about all of our kids, even, and I know every griever is different, but I love talking about Beau, and it means so much to me when people ask me about him. And you had just asked about Josh. You're like, hey, tell me about your son, Josh. And Corey just lit up getting to talk about his son. I think there's people have so much fear of saying the wrong thing. Or I've had people say like, oh, I don't want to make you sad. I'm like, I'm already sad. Like I'm thinking about Beau all the time. So you bringing him up is not gonna throw me off. He's on my mind constantly. The idea of someone bringing him up gives me joy of like, oh, you remember him. You remember that's my story. I want to brag on him just like I do on my 6-year-old. And so not being afraid to say their name or ask about them, tell me about them or show me pictures. Probably one of the most, and this is a really specific thing that I don't think everyone could do, but probably one of the most loved I ever felt by a friend is when, well, Beau died in the hospital in the emergency room. Sounds kind of similar to your story. And after he died, we took so many pictures of him, just it being our last moments with him. I mean, I just have so many pictures of Beau after he died, and pictures we never planned to show anybody. But I had a friend at my house one day and just asked like, hey, can you show me the pictures of Beau in the hospital? I just want to know. I want to know what he looked like. I want to see what you've seen. And that was just a moment of like, oh, you're willing to like go into the depths and the dark with me, that most people would never want to see pictures of that. And it meant so much and still does, of like, oh, you understand a little bit more than other people, like what we had to walk through, because you were willing to just enter into that just dark place with me, if that makes sense. And so, again, that was a really unique situation, but that meant so much to me. And there's 100 other things. I always found the question, how are you, to be really daunting, especially in a text. If I got a text, I was like, hey, how are you? I'm like, I can't sit here and just like text you all the things I'm feeling, or maybe I'm feeling good today and I feel guilty about that, so I don't want to tell you that I'm doing good. Or maybe I'm in the dark today and I don't want to text out how dark I'm feeling. So I love the idea of just like, hey, tell me about, or hey, what are your thoughts today regarding your son? Or I have found for grievers, the question, how are you, is just very overwhelming in those initial days and months.
People say that, you know, grown men don't cry. Well, they're very misinformed, because I cry all the time. And Corey, I know you've shed a bazillion tears. And I think crying is such great therapy, whether you're a man or a woman. But in the middle of all your tears and sadness, you had friends. I know around camp, everybody loves you. And I know you have a lot of friends around here that have ministered to you along the way. But what were some of the things that some of your friends and extended family members did that helped bring you the hope to go on and live another day?
A lot of times it was just being there. You know, you don't always have to say anything. You know, just being there is a lot. And I used to think, you're talking about people, you know, you bring you food. And I thought, what an odd thing. Why does everybody bring you food? And then you realize, because I don't want to cook. I don't even want to eat. You know, but they would show up. They would bring you food, and they would just sit with you. And sitting with somebody is just, it's nice. You don't have to fill the air with a lot of, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, but I understand that. And you know, like you said, Emily, I'm hurting. So it's not gonna hurt me anymore to say, hey, how are you? Or, you know, or if you bring him up. I mean, if you keep his memory alive, that's awesome. You know, you ask me about him. I would love to tell you about him, or, you know, share some of my favorite things that we did. So just being there and just sitting alongside you in your grief. You know, the best thing that Job's friends did was sit there being quiet for 7 days. It's when they started opening their mouth that it's like, oh, wait, you know, hold on. So just being there is a great thing. Just walk alongside me, and just to know you're there with me, that's the best thing.
I remember, Corey, years ago going to a funeral of one of my dear friend's wife. And I was sitting in front of his house in the car wondering, what should I say? I was at a loss for words. And I prayed, and as I recalled, the Lord just said, just go, show up, and just be there. And it was a clear message, I felt. And so I just walked inside, and I was there. And it was all that he needed.
Just knowing that you're there. You cared enough to come over here and see how I was doing. That's so much. That's plenty. And that helped, that gets you going too, you know, gets you out of bed and it gets you going. So that's the best thing somebody could do, I think, just show up.
That's so good to hear again. Melissa, you cared so well for my grandson Hayes's 4 or 5 best friends. They loved Chase. They were Chase's buddies. They hung tight together, especially in those last days. How did you do that? How did you muster up the strength and the courage to care so well for Chase's friends in the middle of your grief?
How and why did I do that? I did that because those were Chase's people. That was his people. He loved them so much. And, you know, those boys were at an age when Chase died, at 13, 14. That's such a tender age, especially in boys. They're trying to navigate feelings and emotions. And I think I just wanted to be strong for them. I wanted to encourage them and lift them up because I felt like in doing that, in that moment, I was also watching Chase grow in them. And I still to this day, you know, I look at Hayes and I picture Chase beside him in life, you know, and I do that with all of these boys and it gives me such a comfort. And so I think watching them grow up through my grief actually has allowed me to heal.
And so we were talking to Melissa about continuing to show up, continuing to be there for a friend who's walking through grief. What does that mean to you as Chase's mommy to have Hayes name his son after Chase and to tat Chase's name on his side? What's that like for you?
Oh, my goodness. It makes my heart explode. He's so precious. And just to know that Chase impacted, you know, Hayes and boys like his, you know, his friends were, is just so touching to me. And it just makes me so proud to be Chase's mom.
You know, Hayes is a big, tall, handsome pilot. He flies a jet. But Chase is really a giant part of Hayes's fathering skills. Big, handsome kid. He's so tender with little Brooks Chase. And Chase is a big part of that. Always will be. Chase lives on.
Yes, he does.
Well, so it sounds like you've really continued to pour just time and you invested in Chase's people and those relationships. How are they still a part of your life today? And how do they help Chase stay in your life and their lives just by your continued involvement with them?
You know, all of his friends just continue to include our family in all their big life moments. You know, weddings are coming up and babies are being born and, you know, big life moments. We're there for that. And we're there because they are inviting us into that. And my daughter, Maddie, they kind of adopted her as their little sister. And so she has actually been a groomswoman in one of Chase's friends' wedding. She stood up on the groom's side in a pretty dress in honor and memory of her brother because he was so special. And so they love my Maddie just as much as they love Chase. And so just to still be a part of that and to be in their lives is, I can't even explain it. It's priceless.
And so I don't know how I would even breathe if I was walking and interview two mommies and you as a dad, if I had to walk in your shoes. I'll start with you, Corey. What else would you like for our listeners to know? Because we've all got people in our lives that are going through pain and loss and suffering. We've all got friends. And to try to know more about how to be there, how to show up well. And we'll ask this to all of you parents. What would you like our listeners to know that we haven't talked about?
Well, Emily said it in the first podcast that nothing happens without God's approval. God knows every day you have. So rest assured that, you know, you're not being punished. You're not, you know, you're not, he's not taking something away. He's got a plan and just trust that plan, trust and hope because you will. That's my hope is I get to see him again. I know I will see him again. And so just lean into the Lord and just keep hoping.
Bethann, what gaps have we not filled in for the friends those who have lost someone?
Yeah. You know, I talked earlier, Joe, that just your capacity kind of shrinks when you are walking through grief. And so many people meaning well, in my personal experience, sometimes would send huge chunks of scripture. And obviously, you know, God's word is full of comfort and hope. And so don't hear me say, don't speak scripture to your friends. But think about, what if I just sent one small verse or, you know, told them, hey, I'm praying this truth over you. This is not everybody's experience. In my personal experience, you know, I never doubted God. I honestly wasn't angry, but I just was hurting and I just couldn't take in a lot. And so I think a lot of us, again, we worry, we want to say the exact right thing. We feel like we need to remind people of all of this truth. And sometimes we just need to keep it really simple. And like Corey said, we just need to show up. Or like Emily said, we just need to let them know that we're thinking about them and we're praying for them. I remember my mom had a friend, Mary, reach out one morning, and all her text said that morning was, just breathe. Like, just remember to breathe today. And so don't overthink what you should say or you should do. But if God puts something on your heart, say it or do it and just trust that he is going to use whatever you bring to the table.
And so, Emily, although it's been a short while since Bo left your little family, temporarily left, if I was your friend or your extended family member, what would you wish that I knew about caring for you and Jake and your other children?
That's such a good question. I think sometimes Jake and I's more just kind of happy-go-lucky, like more upbeat demeanor can make people think that we're still not thinking about him all the time. Like I cannot sing a song at church that doesn't remind me of Bo. I mean, everything still reminds me of him. And we're 4 years out, but just that it's still a very much like ongoing part of our life. And I still have hard days. And 10 years out, I'm sure you're still having really hard days or hard moments. And so still, people still asking, hey, what have your thoughts been about Bo lately? Or, hey, can you show me some pictures? Or we just had a baby, another son 3 weeks ago, and he actually looks so much like Bo. And I like love telling people that because not very many people got to meet Bo. And so I'm like, he looks like Bo. And or people not being afraid to say, I don't know, people just continuing to say his name, remember his anniversaries. Like Beth Ann said, we have his birthday and we call it his glory day, the day that he passed. And I know we have a lot of friends that have those dates just in their calendar on their phone to just remember. So yeah, I don't think it matters how far along you are. You're still thinking of him and you want people to think of him and ask about him.
We could go on for a while, but we'll say goodbye for now. I just want to encourage everyone who's listening. And over the past few years of my old man life, with all the pain and all the sadness and all the loss and sorrow that surrounds me, I cherish my hardest moments. I cherish my saddest moments. I cherish my most painful moments. I cherish my goofy legs and the stumps that they ride on and the scars all over my body. And just to encourage everyone else who's sitting there with scars on their emotions and scars on your life, that from an old man's perspective, Christ is hope. He is. He is peace. The Bible's not a fable. It's true, every word of it. Especially when you're down on your face, crying in the carpet. The carpet's your Kleenex. You can't even get up off the floor. It's so sad. But he is there. He's been there in incredible ways. And he will be there for you. I'm not trying to preach a sermon, just sharing life on life. You have nothing to fear. Your future has nothing to fear, even though brokenness will be a part of it. You have nothing to fear because Christ is there and he is hope. And you'll find it as you lean into him with all of your heart. And so, Melissa and Emily and Corey and Beth Ann, thank you for showing us your tender side. And thanks, everyone, for participating with us on this Scanacook podcast. We hope it brings life to you. And so, Father God, we thank you for being that hope. We thank you for being that peace. We thank you for being that security blanket, even to older people. And we thank you for being the father to the fatherless and the husband to the husbandless, and the friend to the friendless, and salvation to our last breath. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
We hope today's conversation left you encouraged, strengthened, and empowered. If you haven't had a chance, please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit CanacookPodcast.com. And for more information about Canacook, you can visit Canacook.com.